afternoon, once again, my name is Brother Sean, and I just want to start by saying, yesterday, Eva told us about all the wonderful things that are happening at KPFK, and I think that is fantastic. But I just want people to remember that not just KPFK, but particularly KPFK, is doing all this great work. KPFK was born out of struggle as well, and just maybe WBAI would be all right, because they're in struggle right now. So just to restate that. The second thing is, I said something yesterday, and Greg, I know that you got 1,000 things that you have to do yesterday, but it was not, and I said it to the board as well, it was not a rhetorical question when I said, can we have more than 5 stations? We need help in the South. I'm telling you, for the last 2 years, I've been traveling around the South, and they're hurting for this information. I learned how to watch TV because the radio is so horrid down there. The third thing I want to say, could the board, I don't know if this is a programming committee issue or what, but when I was hearing all the creative licensing talk, I would like to know that, wonder if maybe when people came into each particular station and before they got on the air, they had to sign something saying that it's all right to send my work to the Pacifica Archives. I think each station needs to have that, because I don't know if you know it or not, but some producers get on the air and then they turn around and they want to sell the information to Pacifica and different people. So I just want us to work on promoting Pacifica and the other stations. And just from history, BAI is going to be all right.
Thank you.
Jane Jackson.
And after her, Rosalind Roberts.
Good afternoon. I'm Jane Jackson. Excuse me, KPFA, Local Station Board. I want to speak first about prisoner and prison membership and programming. My question is, how do we do it? And how do we facilitate membership for all institutionalized prisoners? I attempted to do that for one person who had a death sentence reprieved, and I was accused of buying votes on my welfare check. We have a growing communication divide in our country based on a variety of reasons and populations. I liken it to Jim Crow, apartheid, NAFTA, Homeland Security, and more. My question for the PNB and those listening to this meeting, as one who has spent most of my life on human and civil rights, whose brain injury turned me into a dedicated listener of KPFA and other stations in their signal areas, please reach out to people and go to them and not expect them to come to us. By realizing that our disparate educational system is furthering the cultural and informational divide, we must do better and more creative outreach. Taking me back to my first point, when will we see more people of color who are blind and or mobility impaired included in the Pacifica family, particularly those who become people with disabilities due to police and now, sadly, peer violence? Pacifica was founded by a pacifist ex-convict with a sense of integrity that I see too short supply in the 59 years I've been listening, an old institution of which I am an original listener, with my mind set on saving our crown jewel, the archives, excuse me, in conjunction with the outrageous legislation that negatively impacts undocumented residents, we must also support reauthorization of the voting rights legislation without negative adjustments, because those whose ancestors came here against their will must also be a priority. To not make reauthorization a priority will risk increasing the level of racial tension, not only within Pacifica, but nationwide. Thank you. And no one here has asked me about my cap. And most people think that fist and all of us or none means people with disabilities. No, it means felons who are coming back into reentry and not being able to do so. And in this hand is a document put out by the Prisoners Legal Services for Prisoners with Children on looking at early release for women over 55 in the flooding California prison system, because they present no threat to society and an enormous threat to our budget.
I had actually asked to be the last one up, so whoever that person should be.
I see my time.
Oh, okay. Well, Mike? I was going to see my time. Okay, a number of things. As I understand SCD, and I'm not an SCD expert, but the beauty of SCD is that you get to elect people or vote for people, a number of people, so it's not winner take all. It's not either your person gets in or you have no representation. So I just wanted to remind people about that. With regard to the building fund, which is a $100,000 over 5 years, a pledge that's been made by an anonymous donor, $20,000 of which has been received. This was secured by our program director. I think it's a wonderful thing. We're paying more than $600,000 a year in rent. And I think it's very interesting that people now want to place restrictions on who can donate what, when in fact there are people who have been actively involved in trying to shape station policies by their donations. And there's never any comment about those, but I guess it determines what side of the fence you think those people are on. Each station has a slightly different character. I don't know the politics of every station. I know that I'm very concerned about things that I hear in Houston, which is that you've lost more than six people of color in your local station board. But that doesn't cause me to say that everyone who remains at KPFT is a racist. So I think that you need to take what you hear and try to find out what's going on, ask questions, talk to everyone. It's surprising to me that someone who stands up here and says, you know, it's an issue of freedom of speech, also said to the chair of our local board, after Mr. DiRienzo said F you, F you, F you publicly during a meeting five times, the female member of the board, I guess I shouldn't call her a feminist, said to the chair of the board, who's also a woman, well, you should stop him. I'm not quite sure how she's supposed to do that, short of saying, you're out of order, please come to order, please control yourself. So like I said, it's very interesting who's speaking about what at various times. There are people with disposable income within Pacifica who are, again, doing what the old PND did, which was to investigate the activists. So there are people who are now using their disposable income to investigate people who they consider to be their Pacifica adversaries. I think that should cause some level of concern. I'm hearing that when you quote someone who has said things publicly, you're now defaming them. So if you repeat what someone said, you are defaming them, which means that they defamed themselves. Or did I miss something here? You know, if I'm quoting your words, that isn't defamation. I think I heard the chair say that earlier, and that was a little surprising. I am pleased to hear, and I don't know if Ernesto is in the room. I'm pleased to hear that you're going to be meeting with the African-American community in Houston, because there are some serious concerns about inclusion and lack of inclusion and outreach and so forth, so I'm glad that that's being resolved. And I hope that your LSB also at some point, I don't know who's heading up the Committee of Inclusion there, but I want to know why all those people of color have left the board. Okay, I don't think everyone has had a personal crisis. I'm a little... Okay. I'm concerned about people who, everyone has a right to disagree. I don't expect that we will all agree. We don't have to like each other. Excuse me, fighting the culture. We don't have to like each other. We just have to be able to get the work done. Determine what the project is, set some guidelines, do the work. You don't, if you feel you can't stand the thought of speaking to the person when you see them in the hallway, that's okay. But when we sit down at the table to do the work, do the work. We don't have to go home together. We don't have to go home together. Okay? But, you know, I think we can do a lot better than we're doing. And I think that the same level of responsibility that we require of board members who are representatives, elected representatives, and I say that that's a heavier responsibility than being a member of a public, what you say at meetings matter. And I want us to say also to our general managers that what you say at meetings matter. So charging the national office with corruption, charging half your staff with corruption, those are highly questionable statements. And, you know, regardless of where your politics are, I want you to ask the questions on those. Okay, thanks.
One more speaker here. That's Mike. One for the camera. Be nice to him.
Shoot it.
Yeah. Without president. Not the photographing for the National Enquirer, right?
You know it's for Playboy. Okay, I really appreciate you giving it a try. Sure. Okay, there's two issues. One is regarding, I'm Iranian. Okay. And first of spring is the new year for us. And this is year 1385. So happy new year to me. Okay, the first part is regarding the press release that they had on Friday, March 24, regarding Iran. War is not the answer. For many years, Iranian people have been fighting for their freedom and independence from any foreign power. The United States government, along with other imperialist powers of Europe, and Israeli government, the occupier of Palestinian land, hand-in-hand with the Islamic Republic of Iran, are planning to pressure and crush the democratic and just struggle of the Iranian people against the Islamic Republic, against the Islamic bloody and sadistic reactionary regime. The Islamic Republic is running the same horror chambers and treating the freedom-loving fighters the same as horror chambers of Abu Ghraib in Iraq. The 20th anniversary of the Iranian Revolution of 1979 and the revolutionary Iranian people will gain their victory and will expose and stop the imperialistic policies of the United States, the Bush regime toward the Middle East, and especially U.S. planned act of aggression against Iranian people. Confederation of Iranians in Southern California, organizing committee. U.S. hands off Iran, the people united will never be defeated. My second issue is regarding KKK. Everybody in this room, a lot of people out there, I know you love KPFK. Is it right? You like Pacifica, you like KPFK, right? Everybody love it? Okay. KPFK is very important as a part of Pacifica, fighting for the rights of the people in the United States. The government is so strong. They have all kinds of money, they have the power, they have the media, and they attack the people in different parts of the society. So KPFK in Los Angeles is very, very, very important and is very valuable. Okay, just let me finish. And I'm a peace activist, and I'm anti-war activist, and I'm a union organizer. I'm trying to organize the taxi cab drivers in the city of Los Angeles. There are 5,000 here, and there's 50,000 in Southern California. KPFK has been helpful, but not as much as we want. The only people they've been supporting me so far, Sonali, our president, and Mr. Don White. He's very important, he's been very helpful. I was beaten up 3 times in the United Cab. I was beaten up 3 times in another camp. And then March 2003, I was beaten up in the KPFK. An idiot right-winger, fascist, racist beat me up. This is not tolerable. I think we have to kick the people that they don't like KPFK out. They can go to the other media. KPFK is only for the people who fight for the dignity and respect and right of the others. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Okay, that is last of our list of public speakers. Anybody else that who hasn't spoken or would like to speak, then I overlook them. All right. So we go to the next item on the agenda is our host station, KPFK, and its presentation. It's we're a little late here, and so we'd like to, if the body consents to it, I'll reduce it to 30 minutes. So the KPFK presentation is for 30 minutes.
Technology keeps changing, so you can't. The problem is the dinosaurs are trying to restrict everything to an existing model. They're all like, hey, we can make money. Don't change them. But change.
Yeah, can you give us maybe we have 30 minutes. That includes the board question and answer session.
Yeah, that includes all.
So we will try to get our presentation done in 15 minutes so that the board can have. So if you give us 5 minute heads up, maybe Ellen, that would help or somebody.
Okay, we'll get somebody get you out.
I just want to say the original a lot of the time was
did you get business plans? I have to bring a book, I think.
So we just had two lots of stuff here. Otherwise, I would like to give you guys all the money.
I'll just introduce everybody quickly, and
in the meantime, I'll make it small. Anybody who wants a little lunch, who's not sick, and who wants a little lunch, they can write it down here with Donna, and she'll take care of your order.
I'm Eva Georgia, General Manager of KPFK. Next to me is Sue Walsh, the Development Director of KPFK. To her right, Jennifer Kaiser, the programming assistant to Armando Godinho. Jennifer will be taking notes for us. Armando Godinho, our program director, and we also welcome our LSB chair, Grace Aaron. Grace will also be presenting. So maybe I'll just do an introduction, and then Grace, you can do a quick report, and then we can get back to the station. Why don't I let you go first? Do you have a transport? Maybe you want to take the microphone. Troy, can we have that mic
light,
please?
Hello. All right. I recently took over chairing the LSB from Don White, and I want to say that I think that the consensus on the board at the station is that we are really definitely improving. I think we've gotten past the make-break point. There are still squabbles and disputes and rumors and all kinds of things, but they're at really a much reduced level. A lot of that has to do with Don White, who is the prince of civility. He's been very fair and accessible. Eva Georgia has been... one thing I can say about Eva Georgia is she cares about the station and spends 98% of her time making the station work, making it viable, making connections in the community. You know, and she really does that. She makes money. She gets stuff on the air. She whips people into shape. She's out there in the community, and it's really appreciated. The programming is... really incredible. I think it's there's stuff that's been there. I have to thank Armando, Jennifer. Sue is doing a great job as a development director. We have great programs that have been, a lot of them have been there for a long time, and they're really appreciated. You know, the Access Unlimited for handicapped. One of my favorite shows, Rhapsody in Black. You know, all the old doo-wop stuff that I love. The fantastic gospel hour, the computer show that my husband is addicted to.
And then we have an LSV that has, you know, a whole bunch of geniuses on it. Dave Adelson, you know Dave. Alan Minsky there, who's probably violently ill at the moment. And we have Sonali Kolhatkar, who's fantastic. Margaret Kreska, all she did with Katrina with Venezuela. We have incredible people on our LSV. And I think I've taken from Don, a lot of people on the LSV have tried as much as they could to extend friendship and care to other LSV members. We may disagree violently when it comes to a lot of ideological issues, but at least we can extend courtesy and friendliness toward each other. And we need to, at my main drive in this, the rest of the year, is to keep improving that so that good, decent, hardworking people will want to join our LSV so that we can move forward even faster. Because that's what we need to do. But the high quality of our LSV members is really what's driving us forward. And the other thing, I'm sorry I'm taking so long, but the other thing that I want to say is that I think I've gotten this from Don and the consensus in the LSV. And that's when it comes to rumors, when it comes to dispute. What we have to realize is people are innocent until proven guilty. They are innocent until proven guilty. We cannot, by using our emails and our rumor lines and telephone calls, indict people, because we must consider them innocent until proven guilty. The other thing is, we're living in a time that's very grim. Our civil liberties are being questioned.
Yes.
We need to create as much fellowship amongst ourselves as we can. And we need, the media is so important. Anyway, I think you get the gist of what I'm saying, but I think that we're moving forward, and it's a conscious effort that most LSV members have made to extend themselves and to be as polite and good-natured as possible.
Thank you,
Greg. Thank you, Mr. LSV Chair. I want to thank the Pacifica National Board and our local LSV, because sometimes I think we forget that you are listeners and that you are volunteers. So on behalf of KPFK, we want to thank you for your commitment to this network. I also just want to do a quick thank you to the tech team, the people that's behind making sure that we get very seven. This is Scott, Roy, Mello, Amala Stewart, Jonathan Alexander. And I want to thank Sonali Kolhatkar that was in the field yesterday, Arbogado, and I know there was a whole lot of other programmers and producers for your willingness to come out and be part of a live broadcast. You know, the last 4 years, I'm just heartfelt thanks to Grace for making those comments. And when we listen to the BAI problems, then we have to realize it is, the problems in New York is a network-wide problem, and it just shows up in different ways. Almost four years ago, KPFK was very much that battleground. So just realize that it's taken us almost 4 years to get to this point where we are. So we are hopeful that BAI will get, you know, through their problems, and that we as a network need to support however we can to help resolve the problems. Because at one point, BAI was a flat subscription, and we need to get it back. The last, basically 4 years for KPFK and us as a management team and staff and local station board has been about rebuilding KPFK. Infrastructure, we've enhanced the technologies, new technologies as KPFK. We built new studios. We restored our transmitters. You know, we've now purchased backup generators. So the station is really a model when it comes to new technologies. And I want to thank Nathan Scott for the extraordinary work he's done with bringing new technologies to KPFK. A lot of it has been, and the success behind KPFK is the fact that we can work out our differences, that there's a willingness to work out the differences. And so that's why I said yesterday, it's not a love fest, and we definitely don't want to sit here and deny the good work that has been done around the network for every station, because every station has its success stories. And so I want to commend all of the stations in Pacific for the work that they do. And we will continue to work on developing those collaborative relationships. You know, we've done major programming changes at KPFK because we believe that those changes was mission-driven programming, and we brought in new audiences and diverse audiences, and we lost a lot of our audience. But we were willing to do that because we believed that we were doing the right thing, and we did it against, you know, in a really hostile environment, both inside and outside the station. But we can't sit here as Pacificans and exclude communities. So we focused on, you know, just a couple of communities, and our intention now for the next few years, the station is stabilized. We've doubled the income since 2002 at KPFK. Let me say that again. We've doubled the income at KPFK. And I want to thank our listeners and the extraordinary work and their commitment and our commitment, because what we do when we look at our finances, it tells us that they validate the work that we do. And I want to thank our listeners for the extraordinary work and their continued support, because without our listeners, there's nothing that we can do. We have hundreds of volunteers that come through KPFK, and you know, sometimes we don't realize the impact these volunteer programmers and producers have on the air, because we don't give enough. And Pacifica really need to look at how we can incentivize our volunteer programmers and producers, because there's got to be a way for us to show appreciation to them. And I really just want to give it over. I mean, we've expanded news and public affairs, and we've collectivized programming at KPFK. We've built on our second floor, we've built an area for volunteers where we have 10 computers where it's just access for volunteers, and we've been able to do that in the last year. And I think the reason why we are successful and hope continue our success is because we focus on our strengths rather than our weaknesses. And we just keep doing the work. It doesn't mean we don't have factionalism. We continue to do the work. We continue to stay focused on what the mission is about. And that's how we move forward. So I'm going to give this over to Sue Welsh so she can talk to you a little bit more about outreach and what we're doing in the area of development.
Good morning, everyone. Good afternoon. I'm happy to be here today, and will be assaulted by a microphone, but not yet, okay. I joined KPFK as a person who had listened for more than 30 years, and on January 10th of 2005. And it's been a tremendous experience in working along with a team that was already moving forward in so many different areas. I've concentrated amid the many things that need to be done when you're a one-shop development person, but I've concentrated on developing with the management team projects that will be seen as worthy for support by foundations and government organizations. I think you have mentioned some of these yesterday, but we have to let CPB, the Institute for Museum and Library Services, the Irvine Foundation, the California Community, whoever they are, know that KPFK has projects. In addition, we are looking at finding partners in the community, and we recently submitted something to CPB and IMLS, and that was to have an incentive to bring together a radio station such as KPFK, a museum, and a library to focus on something in the community, and I won't go into that at length. I have some written material there for you today. The other area, as one of our esteemed members of our outreach committee, Vanessa Poreza, says, outreach is outreach, Sue. You've got to be out there. and he has been a tremendous member of our committee. So I'll just run down a few of the things that we're doing within that committee, but also as part of my responsibility for outreach. First of all, we do media sponsorships, and I know many of you do these. But the key about a media sponsorship is that you're there helping grassroots organizations build their support. And in turn, this is also outreach. Everything's interconnected. Additionally, we've had speaker events. We do the special author events, and that's always a way to build continuing audiences but to bring new people around. We started doing road tours after our fund drives. We're out on the road. We just finished one after the last fund drive, 6 or 7 days with a film thanking our listeners and meeting them. And when people see you out there and they see that you care and you have a chance for them to tell you about what they're thinking and doing, it's terrific, and we really enjoy those. We'll have our first annual summer benefit concert at the Ford Amphitheater. Save the date, come back and join us on July 22nd. Here's another way to build an audience around some of the fantastic multicultural music programming that we're doing. Okay, the outreach committee started under our chairman, Arturo Lemus, at the beginning of 2005. We've been working to develop this basic concept that we have a very large signal area. We have communities in those signal areas that feel that they're not Los Angeles. They might be Pasadena. They might be Santa Barbara. They want to be in touch with us. So we're looking at the map, moving into a community, reusing our list to address people by mail, follow-up calls, meet them for breakfast, tell them, you know, about what we're doing, ask them how we can better serve them. Immediately, the biggest thing is follow-up. If you don't follow up once you've had these contacts, there's no point in doing them. We followed up, and now we're planning a speaker event in one of the communities. So it's really helping both developing donors, continuing the outreach so that all of these things are interconnected. We're also doing a special focus on youth, and I think you heard about our Voices of Tomorrow project. I want to thank our other board member, Terry Goodman, who's the one that said, here's an interesting grant, why don't you write this? Thank you, Terry. And we did, and we're going to be starting that project this year. We, as Eva mentioned, we focused on the African-American, Latino audience. Now we're looking at building our outreach to the Asian Pacific Islander. We've recruited a young person from that community to our outreach committee, and he is being excellent. Anyway, there's a lot more to tell, but we're working on a generic brochure in English and Spanish, and we're outreaching.
Thank you. In terms of programming, I'd like to actually outline a little bit about a little of what we did in Los Angeles once we came in, and you know, the build-up process to where we are today. As program director, one of the first things that we did that is now a part of our regular structure is to have regular meetings with our programmers. In fact, the beginning of the year, it actually takes me sometimes as much as the first entire quarter to meet with all programmers, and I put out an invitation. And people respond, and if they don't respond, I give them a call. And I've had programmers come to me and say, you know what, I've been doing radio, I've been here 15 years, and this is the first time I've ever had a sit down with a program director. And I realized that, you know, that was a serious problem. So we maintained that today. And we came in, and we had no policies, we had no structure. And we had to start from the very basic. Today we have several pages of policies that outline, you know, things that are very basic to our industry and that I think empower the programmer with a degree of knowledge and understanding of what it is that they do and why they do it, above and beyond the ideological constructs that bring them to our station in the first place. We have monthly, we have, of course, you guys are aware, we have a producers meeting that's open to all programmers, and in that meeting, We dialogue and discuss programming issues relevant to paid and unpaid programmers. We have had in the past two meetings a year, and one year we actually only had one, in which we bring out the all-station programmers. So what's been important for us in terms of building KPFK to where we are has been that communication. It has been empowering the programmers and making sure that they understand what it is that they can do above and beyond their program. It was also a strategy for us doing this that the strategy, we also took advantage of these meetings and introduced and had more discussions about the issue of preemptions. One of the challenges that, you know, all our stations have is how do we access the airwaves? How do we provide more airwaves? You know, diversity, of course, is something that we're all working towards, and it's inevitable. We have to do it. One of the things that we did in having these meetings, I took advantage of the opportunity and would talk to them about the fact that, listen, you have, if you're a weekly show, you know, so many shows a year, and if we borrow some of that time to provide access to this programmer or that programmer who doesn't have airtime, that will allow us to grow, to develop, and most importantly, provide access that will not take away your time permanently. So we started working very strategically at developing a culture of understanding that would allow us to make preemptions, and that was also complemented by writing a policy that says, look, we're going to give you a 1 week's notice on the preemption, and we're going to try to stick to that, you know, short of Pacifica National Program. No, I'm just kidding. You know, but we took these ideas and discussions and wrote policies on it. Now, today, I think one of the more successful things happening at KPFK is a relationship with the board, and in particular, our programming oversight committee, which comes from the board, and of course, the GM and the PD or ex officios. And, you know, but there, we've been able to actually use the document that we prepared, right? The programming policies and guidelines as a point of departure for further discussion as to how do you improve the relationship, the resources, etc. And since then, we have come up with new language and new policies, for example, the area of fund drive, that we will provide 2 months notification if, in fact, you're preempted during the fund drive. Early on, when I came on, preempting somebody during a fund drive was a very difficult discussion. And today, we have a real, respectful, mutual relationship with the programmer, so much so that there's an understanding that, look, most of us are on 1 week and most of us are off 1 week. And we're able to do special programming, and as such, you see the increase in revenue and subscribers. So that programming oversight committee has been very, very key. And it's been very respectful. I play a key role in that, in that my experiences with the programmers, and in fact having outlined and authored just a great majority of those policies, you know, it allows us to have some real constructive dialogue. And this, ladies and gentlemen, is going to be very key, I think, for all stations, that we set aside those challenges and those ideological debates, and, you know, have some mutual respect and engage one another in a cordial discussion. But perhaps we need to open it up for questions. There's so much more we could talk about.
That's the last speaker. You want somebody else to speak? Yeah.
We'll take questions.
Oh, you will take questions.
Sure.
All right, so we'll take about 10 minutes. I'll take it for some privilege here. I think you're a very, very talented bunch of people. And I can see why you will raise a lot of money, because there's somebody here who can mimic all kinds of people, and if they can oblige us and honor us with tell how Katharine Hepburn sounds like.
Oh, absolutely, let's do that.
Katharine
Hepburn.
Hallelujah, followed by the song from yesterday.
I want the chairman to know that I traveled very far to be here, further than Bernard Weiss, further than Mary Bird. And I'm shaking with enthusiasm for the possibilities of this network leading in love and laughter.
Go ahead,
Ken. I know it's often said that the grass always looks greener on the other side, but I have to say that I've just been extraordinarily impressed with what I've seen, and I wish I'd been able to literally see the station, but just watching the way the people relate from the station, I'm noticing the fact that there's not a significant minority of people feeling excluded. Talking to a certain public comment is another important indicator, I think, that something is right with KPFK. So I just wanted to acknowledge that, and personally thank you for the wonderful hospitality we received here, and also to acknowledge another part of the team, the elections team. We had a really wonderful little primer presented to us by Art, Freddie, Jack, and Roger. I think I got their names right. Thursday night, teaching us the basics of STD voting, which was really organized by Lydia, I think, put that together. In any case, so thank you all. Really,
thank you
for a really nice example.
Well, thank you.
I just wanted to say that I think it was about 3 years ago we had a meeting here, even it just taken over, and I remember listening to the station and thinking, you know, we have a lot of work to do. And it was the same meeting, by the way, in which the chairman of the board announced that Washington, D.C., where we were headquartered, was a cesspool, which made me feel real good.
Thank you, Armando. The thing that I want to say is that at every point in this meeting, from the point at which I showed up at the airport and I had people calling me on the phone, Roger Zimmerman showed up to bring us down here. The first time I turned the radio on, the sound that was coming, I heard Jerry Quickly, and I got my Quickly fix. I got my Margaret Prescott fix. I feel like I'm a resident of Los Angeles because of this team. And I remember talking to Sue several years ago when she had just been hired and she was not sure what the outcome was going to be. But we have a community that's rebuilding itself. And so when we went out onto Broadway and Grant Street yesterday and saw that river of humanity, we as board members felt that this was our community. And this is what Pacifica is all about. This is what we're about. We're not simply a black, white, you know, we're not simply Latino, we're not simply Caucasian, we're not all from Europe. We are a community of Americans. North Americans, South American, Central Americans, Mexican Americans, and we have a common interest. And this city and this station is making us feel that way. And if we could do that to the United States, goddammit, this would be a better country.
Yeah, well, I agree with everything everybody said. I want to know more about the outreach. I had a chance to come in. I was picked up at the airport by this very enthusiastic woman, and she had this great big sign. It was wonderful. All perfect. That's the very sign. It's what, I don't know, 3x2x3 or whatever it is. No, it's, I don't know. I couldn't miss it. And there was my ride. And then one of the other people had actually changed planes, and this woman got all this list of people, calls up, and figured where the next, who should pick her up. Well, that was Sue Welsh, and we had a long ride in, and she tells me about some of these outreach plans. Sue, you only talked about a little bit today. I want to find out a lot more about the whole philosophy of getting donors to not just pay money, but to participate. And you had this whole roadshow. People should know about this, because this is utterly dynamite, and that's how you build listeners. And you were explaining how you get... You go out and get some people enthused, and then they go start these little things like film clubs, and I don't know what. I'd like to learn a lot more about that, because we weren't in the car long enough for me to get the whole thing. So,
well, Mary, it was great being with you as well. I'll give an example that would then describe what I think is manageable and reasonable for an outreach group to do. Rather than looking out and saying, oh, it's enormous, where are we going to start? We've developed this concept of targeting a community, and donors will be within that community, but as we learned, they are also activists. So they're donors, they're activists, and they care, they listen, they have things to offer. So I would simply say, by targeting the community of interest that you're after, following up is so important, and I really believe, and it could be because I'm of Irish descent and we're big on hospitality, that people like to see people. They like to be engaged directly. And I know the internet and emails are terrific, and they're a good start, but I think outreach is really what Reza says. It's out, you've got to be out there, and you've got to follow up,
And you've got to realize there will be a period of time where you're building and you have to keep in touch. But I think it can be done when you've shown your enthusiasm for what people want to do. Now, we're going to follow up. We're going to be up there with a speaker. And then we've already had someone offer their home, sent us pictures of their home. Will this do? Oh, yes, it will. A lovely home that we can have a pre-reception. It's all about communication. There's no mystery to outreach. You have to be there, you have to be seen, and you have to engage. And people will respond. And they love to see you out there. And I, you know, some of the information there, Mary, but we can continue communicating on this so that we can be helpful to you. There's a lot of other things to say, but that, I think, in terms of being able to be very specific about a plan of action that we have right now to reach more people who are also donors, who are also activists, who are giving us resources from their community. They've offered to help take us on a tour, introduce us to the media, identify new venues for theater so we can bring our film club and make it more accessible to we have a far-reaching region here. And so I would say that that's a good place to start.
Thank you. I'm done.
Well, I just want to make a quick comment about team building and how, in my judgment, KPFK has built a team. I mean, the general manager can delegate more and more responsibilities to a team that she has built because of the quality and the talents. And I wanted to just mention Jennifer Kaiser, who's taking notes. Jennifer, I consider to be a key member of the KPFK team because in just one example, Jennifer is totally bilingual, English-Spanish, and so our general manager is very committed to bilingualism and attempting to increase our services, not only in Spanish broadcasting, but also in other areas. And Jennifer, one time we said, oh gosh, we need full translation for an LSB meeting because we've passed a resolution to have our meetings bilingual. We're slipping slightly now. But I was so impressed by the fact that at the next meeting, Jennifer had been able to organize professional translators. Now, the service is underused, and we're going to have to rebuild that commitment. But Christine Blasdale, I believe it is, the music director and a major program, the people at the station, the... senior producer, what am I saying? And you're also a senior producer. When you're well enough to function young. But I just want to compliment what I see is a growing team of people at KPFK that can begin to take responsibilities that can be more and more delegated, and in the production area, and then I'm very impressed by this team that's being put together.
Can I make a quick comment? Just
real quick.
I want to expand on that.
No, I'm not too much expansion.
We're up here, and we can put out a good presentation or what have you, but we would not be here if it not some of the people that Don just described. Jennifer, I appreciate who she is, who you are, and what you do. She's here, and I've always seen her as a major contributor and holds us together. Alan and Christine and the entire staff, you guys, these folks are the ones that have made KPFK successful. You know, we take credit and we inspire and we also follow and we lead, but they have made the organization successful. And I take my hats off to them. Of course, many of them couldn't be here, but you guys should know that it's the staff and the programmers who have made all this possible. So I take my hat off to all of those guys.
Thank you very much for the recognition. I feel honored. My background's in project management in the localization field, translation, and I became very disillusioned with the corporate world and wanted to lend my skills to an organization that meant something. So that's why I came to KPFK, which has always been very meaningful and important in my life. We are empowered there to do what we do best, to work hard, and this is how we're able to achieve teamwork. I've worked with Sue. I support management in various ways. I work with Armando, of course, most directly in facilitating communication and dialogue with our programmers. We have a lot of programmers, and they have a lot of ideas, and they're smart people, and they know what needs to be done. It's just coordinating all of that so that we're moving forward as an organized movement and not as satellites all on their own. We want to be a solar system. We want to move forward with everybody with the diversity that we have, but with a common theme. And we achieve that through communication, regular communication and dialogue. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Zarina?
I just wanted to say that I kind of wish that our station was like this. And our station is doing a lot of good things, a lot of very good things. And I want to say that with all of the stations that we should look at, as I think I heard Eva say, look at the positive things and look at the good things, the successes that all of our stations have been able to achieve. And no doubt that everyone has problems. Our lives are always challenged. That's what life is. And it isn't without a challenge that you can rise above all of those situations and then say, well, job well done. As I look at this panel, so to speak, if I just came in and didn't know who all of you were, I'd say that it was four soccer moms and a sumo wrestler. And so not really knowing, you know, but well, you can pick whichever one you think. And what I said to Ron Pinchback yesterday was when I came back in and I was looking at our board and looking at the people in the audience, I said, this is a ghetto UN. Okay, so that's okay. We can rise to the occasion. We don't get the money that the diplomats get, and we don't get some of the perks. But because we work, and that's one of the things that I've said in my emails, the few that I send, and to our LSB and to everyone, it's about work. It's not about just coming to make motion and have an emotion. It's about trying to get the work done, and at the end of the day, again, we can say, job well done.
Sandy?
Just very quickly, I want to thank KPFK and Mansoor personally for picking me up at the airport, gave me a terrific ride in, and very kind for the whole process. This has been a very enjoyable experience. I would wonder if this board would entertain maybe a mechanism or a facility to get effective management teams such as the one that we're seeing here, evidently. Either that would be very good at keeping people that don't agree with them out of this meeting. I don't know which it is. And some kind of mechanism to where we could share some ideas with other stations which have yet to proceed down that same path very far. I think maybe the knowledge and the team building that has been put forth here can be shared with other stations.
In response to Sandy, just to say, Sandy, I have to correct you. You had some of the major players in this room that was some of the strongest opposition to the KPFK management, and over the years have started to work our way through our differences. So you don't just have people in the room that agree with KPFK management, not at all.
I want to say this actually, good. Just that I think one of the things that's most spectacular about the successes of KPFK, you had a lot of previous radio experience. In the actual producers team of the seven of us, right? Armando had media experience. I had media experience. Mine wasn't explicitly in radio, and I believe Quigley might have had some on-air experience, but for the most part, Sonali, Christine, and Alva, they were new to radio, but they came in with incredible commitment. Very committed to both learning the ways of doing it. I think this is sort of something that's ethereal, but I think what has worked so well about the team that's put together is, you know, in some respects, I would acknowledge I have a lot of influence over the programming on the station. Sometimes that makes me more comfortable. The ethic I try to abide by, and I think is the free-floating ethic within the station, is to be in this position, is to be leading by following. I think it's something that's been free-floating here in Southern California. It's a slogan that came out of the Zapatista movement. And it's about bringing a plurality of voices on there, facilitating those voices. And I think that is really one of the predominant things at KPFK. So now we're 3 years on. The team's been together. Now we're pretty darn veterans at radio programming, and we're getting pretty good at it.
Just something to
what Sandy said. Some of the PDs, we had a brief moment, we talked, and going to the issue of how do we collaborate, we discussed possibly actually visiting each other at our respective stations and going over what we do and how we do it, and the interest of supporting one another towards a better process. So I look forward to all the GMs and the board supporting that, supporting us as program directors and helping develop one another.
I would applaud that effort.
Well, that's that section of the agenda is coming to a close, and I want to thank you for all the hospitality on behalf of the KPFK station and all the people. Do is we'll take about 10 minutes break and then come back here at 2:20, and then we can proceed with our agenda. Thank you
so much.
Thank you.